You want to start us off with the formal podcast?
All right, let's go for live from New York. It's Thursday night. Now, all right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
You can do it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number one, Ken. That is dummy number two, Lou. We are live on Twitch, I believe. We are recording for your Apple iTunes / Spotify / Google Play podcast feeds. We are very happy to be back with another MCU for Dummies. We've got a variety, my friend, of topics tonight, which, of course, will all be broken up into little bite-sized pieces for your little Gen Z brains. Which cannot digest more than 8 to 12 minutes of audio at a time. So we will do our best to feed you appropriately your daily dose of podcast material. Lewis, Venom 2's out. What If is over. Eternals is coming up. Yada, yada, yada. But before we get to the miscellaneous podcast, let's talk about What If. Do you want to split these two up, or you want to put them in one shebang?
We should do the whole thing. And if you're listening, folks, okay. I know we haven't been here in about a week or so, but we are back. We are on Twitch. We're trying out this new streaming format. So we're going to have some visuals. We're going to be watching some Ken and I are going to watch some trailers and reacting to some stuff. So, you know, we're definitely upgraded here. But all things are good. We're going to do both of them. You know, Ken, I think we should go through each of the What If episodes and just give our initial final reactions here. The last episode, you know, I was in the shower. I was thinking this through, trying to come up with an analogy. And I thought that the first episode was like eating really bad fried food when you're drunk. You're like, this is great.
Okay. It's good enough, yeah.
Because Loki was so good. Like, we were on such a high note. Like, Loki was out. Black Widow just came back. Everyone's going to the movies now. It's all exciting. And then the first episode comes out and you're like, awesome, this is great. And now that I've seen the last episode, like, I always knew what – now I it's more apparent to what the direction of the show was going to be. And I'm kind of disappointed in how it went. But I'm also kind of ashamed that I let myself believe that it was supposed to be more.
Yeah. Yeah, I was fooled. I mean, you know, my initial thoughts on the show were that it was going to be – useless or like kind of just like a little bit of fun in between
summer
like some
show.
Real stuff. Yeah, summer show. And that's kind of what it was. And it started out that way with the Captain Carter stuff and then there was like the T'Challa stuff, which was cool, and the Dead Avengers stuff, which is fun. Right? Like, so we were having fun. You know, we were just kind of screwing around. And then like the news came that like there were gonna be things about this show that are gonna be canon in the MCU, right? Things that are going to be important for the future of our MCU, our characters, our stories, et cetera, which was always like my big holdup, right? Like, what the hell does this matter if it's just like a total fuck it, who cares? So like that news comes out and you're like, okay, let's see what these rules are, right? And then you hear, you know, that Doctor Strange episode, you hear about like an absolute point in time that can't change. And then like you get this big, Lou, I know you love this word, his big penultimate episode, like Ultron wins and Clint dies and like he breaks through to the multiverse, which is like a huge climactic scene, right? And the Cuck Watcher is just like, holy bejeebers.
He's right? Watching like, us right now.
It's all this crazy stuff happening in the penultimate episode. And then the finale.
Big stinker.
Was bad. It big was stinker. Boring. It was everything everybody who dislikes comic book movies says about comic book movies. It was only beat up the bad guy. There were no stakes. There was no, like, it was bad. It was fun, I guess. Sure. Like, fine. You want to say, like, that's fun to see, like, Captain Carter and, you know, Killmonger and T'Challa, Star-Lord, T'Challa. Like it was fun to see all those guys together, sure. But the episode itself was bad. There's no two ways around.
Yeah, I agree. But I feel like that's what it was supposed to be this entire time. And, well, I also, like, don't... Like, what was the point of this show? I guess it was to tell the story of the Watcher, right?
Yeah, I think it was to set some of the standards of the multiverse itself, right? I mean, like, it identified like maybe some of the visuals of the multiverse, right? Like the Watcher kind of sits in between these universes, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm saying, like, what did we get out of it? Like, we got the Watcher, we got this idea of absolute points.
We got those two things. I think we have...
The big squid tentacle
We have
thing.
Big squid man, who everybody's, like, very, you know, excited about, big squid guy. And then we got, I think we have, like, Supreme Strange, right? Like, that could be something that's super important.
Yeah, I think if anything was going to be canon, maybe it's this idea that, like, who Strange is going to play in the multiverse. This, like, ultimate character that has, like, the bearer of the multiverse on his back.
Yeah.
Like, I got to fix this all stuff. I don't know. The last episode was, like, so jam-packed that I just sat there. I was like, what am I watching here? It moved so quickly. There's one Natasha Romanoff, and there's another one. Now Captain Carter is back. Like, I didn't know this show was supposed to be structured for everybody to return. So, like, that was weird, because sometimes you have, like, zombie Thanos, and then you have real Thanos, and then Thanos gets cut in half. So it's like, I just feel like there was, like, some inconsistencies with the storytelling. But I also
do love how much the Watcher hated Tony Stark, though. He was like, nah, we're good.
Thank you. He's always dying.
Thanks, buddy.
I don't know. Let's go through each of the episodes. I know we got the Watcher up in the background here, so, you know, you got that the dummy number three on, even though Ron's soul is the dummy number three. Let's go to the all favorite IMDb. Go to What If.
Lou is a
I do love
talk about a simp for the old IMDb.
I do. That's I do love did. Yeah, let me play around with this crop.
I don't blame you, though. I think it's a good collection.
All right. IMDb Marvel. All right, for all of you guys watching, we're now live on Twitch. Maybe we could do a better job putting together a schedule, but we'll have to see.
No, we just fucking wing it every time, and everybody's got to guess when they can listen to the dummies, because we're stupid. Do you get it? That's the point of the show. We're stupid.
One of my favorite things about this show is how there's already, like, an established season two, and I'm like, I don't even know what season one was about.
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey Wright did well.
Jeffrey Wright literally does everything. I think we talked about this last time we got together, but he's in everything all the time. He's just the guy.
Yes.
He is the Watcher. Oh, look at you playing with your brightness.
That's pretty cool, huh? So this episode, What If Captain Carter, debuts on August 11th, 2021. A mere week or two after we get fake Kang in Loki. So everyone's riding high. Marvel could not be doing any better. They're like hanging in there during a pandemic. They got movies coming out. All is good.
They're about to reestablish, like, the cinema as a place.
Exactly.
They
told us. Dave Johnson from Inverse was like, what? You going to tell me the movie's going to change? Not a big fan of it.
She really did. I had
hopes for the What If Captain Carter. I didn't think it was bad. IMDb, you see, gave him a nice 7. You did not like it.
I thought it was fine.
You thought it was fine? Okay.
It was fine.
What did you, to skip towards the end, what did you think of, like, our cliffhanger being that, like, Steve is just in the suit at Hydra Base.
Well, you know what, though? I guess, and I'm not saying that it's a given, but, and I haven't even seen Eric, that bastard at New Rockstars.
Eric Voss?
Yeah, that bastard.
You calling him out here?
Yeah. Come get me, Eric Voss, and MT, and Tommy, what's his name? Tommy something and Jessica Clemens.
She'd beat
you
up.
And she would beat me up. And so would Marina, I believe. Marina would also.
They all would beat you up.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'd die. I would.
Especially
die.
MT. Again, like, you'd be like, oh, you win it for this one. And he'd, like, smack you with, like, a box of Pop Tarts.
He probably has, like, a big old Kirby. Right. Like.
What are we getting at here? What are we getting at here?
So that even that bastard over at New Rockstars, Eric Voss, hasn't had this theory yet. But I have a theory, Lewis. That Peggy and Steve are an ultimate point in time.
What do you mean?
That they explain that. That they will always find a way to be together.
You think we'll get a Captain Carter, Captain America meetup? That would be cool.
I think we will. Because we got, even in the Prime MCU, right? Even in Prime MCU, Peggy and Steve ended up together.
Yeah.
Right.
And then she called it out too. in like a weird, like, oh, we were supposed to see each other type of weird Winter Soldier intro that they tried to force through. That
I think it's that. I mean, there was also some like very aggressive sexual tension between Peggy Carter and Black Widow, and that was undoubtable during that last episode. Oh yeah, God, Jesus, it was palpable.
They also were drinking,
yeah, like
crazy,
weird,
which I found funny. House of Mouse.
I loved Thor throughout this whole What If thing. Like,
yeah,
he had the best renaissance in What If was Thor, and Loki was fun.
Yeah, renaissance. Okay, so then T'Challa comes, and everyone's getting all emotional because they're like, "Oh, Chadwick Boseman's back. This is nice." Yeah. Gets an 8. That's definitely above average. You can see there's some stinkers coming up ahead. But I feel like 8 was fine. You know, I think this was probably one of my favorites from the story origination, because the Chris Pratt Star-Lord, or the Mario Star-Lord, and then the T'Challa,
it's the
like Black Panther.
Mario. That's exactly what he's going to sound like.
Terrible. I thought like that was a cool mix. Like I felt like I actually got entertainment value from the second episode. That was not the case in other episodes. Other episodes were just like, what are we doing here? The second one I thought was really good. And I thought I liked the way they used the bad guy. I'm totally blanking on his name right there. But I don't know. I just like there was a lot of new ideas. It was cool. Like I love when they put the whole Wakanda stuff in there. So I was a big fan of the episode two.
I'm with you. Totally with you. I mean, that was just a fun one. It just made a lot of sense.
Yeah. In the same vein, the next episode, The Avengers, to be rated an 8, I don't know like if that's too high, and then the T'Challa Star-Lord should be higher, but I don't think that these are equal.
Yeah, I don't think they're equal either. I will say that I really did like the Avengers dying, because it was like the first time we had seen something like that, so it was kind of fun, plus the Hulk fucking blew up, man. And that was wild.
Yeah, so everybody can get drunk and like openly be drinking alcohol in the last episode. There's sexual attention, but like the Hulk can't blow up with blood, or you know, they can't do any of that type of stuff.
Right.
Very silly. Then the second highest episode rated. This What If Doctor Strange thing that, you know, maybe we pull some quotes. I just don't get it. I don't understand.
You still not into it, huh?
The ratings, like the back 9, because it is 9 episodes, makes no sense. Like, and actually that did not make any sense. There's just 9 episodes. I'm just saying the back portion, or I guess these ones that I have in view here, that it doesn't make any sense. Because like Doctor Strange being a 9, and then the What If Ultron, okay, I guess that should be the highest one. But then the finale was a big, rotten, stinking egg.
Yeah, I did not like it. I can't see. I can't see what the... finale was up on the screen.
Oh, sorry. Let me scroll on up here.
I'm
yeah, you're out of there.
Yeah, 8.7 is fine, I think. I'm surprised Party Thor is so low. I mean, it was the silliest one of the bunch for sure.
It's the lowest rated episode out of all of these, according to the loyalist at IMDb.
Yeah, and we gotta trust them.
Well, what else do we have?
We don't. We have them, and we have the Bible. So we got to pick one.
That's all we got.
What are we going to do? I think they all make some sense. And to be fair, like, it's the same thing as it is with the rest of the MCU, where even the worst is fine, right? Like, that's the whole problem with like trying to criticize these things. Like, when we talk about Venom 2 later, like, even the bad ones are fine. You know, so same thing with What If, and it was always supposed to be like a silly little thing, and it was.
Yeah,
so it turned out to be.
Put the watcher back.
What? Give me any thought. Like, do you have any thoughts at all on like what could potentially be canon out of this whole thing?
I was trying to bring that up in the beginning. Like, what did we get out of this? And I think the idea of like absolute points. They have like these weird theories that I'm sure Michael Waldron is working through. Absolute points. What was the term in Loki? Like apex moments? What was that?
The nexus event.
Yeah, so like nexus event should be something that everyone is aware of in the next couple of years. Absolute point is something that I can see them working into. I don't know. I think there's a lot of room. Like, I'm excited for the future stuff. more so yeah. like yeah. Hawkeye, like Cassie Lang, Hope Bishop, isn't that her name? Amanda Seyfried, that even her name?
Amanda
Seyfried was in Mamma Mia.
Yeah, I was gonna say she was in Jennifer's Body, I believe, with Megan Fox.
This is the benefit of the Twitch people, if you're listening. Yeah, Hawkeye.
Which can I say, everybody?
Pull up the cast. Haley Steinfeld.
Can I also say, folks, while we're on the topic, Jennifer's Body is a phenomenal Halloween movie. It is spooky season. It is the beginning of October. Or if you're on, I don't know, if you're on Grindr, it's Cocktober. I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I don't know, but it really
I can't look
be.
It up. I can't.
I got to trade. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you cannot Google Grindr Cocktober. You cannot do that.
That would be bad.
I absolutely am curious, though, to know if that's a thing, because it should be. And I would like to trademark it if it's not. And I will buy the URL. Anyway, Jennifer's Body, you got to watch it, folks. It got a bad rap when it came out because weird male producers wanted Megan Fox to be hot. And she is hot. She's always been hot, but they tried to make her this weird sex symbol. It was a movie about female friendships, not about tits, okay? Go watch the movie. You will enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. She's a succubus.
And what does that mean?
It's a good time. It's like a vampire, you know?
I don't know. Everything these days,
is about vampires, man. Just everything.
Like what?
Vampire, vampire, vampire. American Horror Story is about vampires.
That show's still on?
Oh, yeah, it's like season 11 or some shit. It was about vampires. Oh, Lou, you're going to love this, man. It was about vampires, the first six episodes. The second six episodes are about aliens, and they are about the Greys, my friend, because Dwight Eisenhower is the president, and he did make a deal with the aliens in episode number one to get us Wi-Fi. So it's all coming true, baby.
It's not a bad trade-off.
It's not. I'd make that deal every day.
Yeah. I'm trying to update our Twitch page here to have our Twitter page to be like, hey, guys,
I need
go
to know if
us.
Anybody listening or in the future ever, if Cocktober is not trademarked, I need to know. Because it should be. It seems like easy money.
It could be
not looking
at a t-shirt. Okay, let me come back and refocus. Let's get the conversation back on track here.
What?
So
refocus. I thought we were right on.
This what if thing. I don't know. I guess I'm fine with it.
I think I'm fine too. For anybody who's got like a passionate opinion on it, please do let us know, because I just don't have a passionate opinion on it. I have a passionate opinion on Shang-Chi. It was very, very good. Shang-Chi was a great movie. I would go see it again. 8 out of 10, right?
What do you think about the finale or the final moments of What If when they say, not my Natasha, but, you know, you'll do. Is that, like, leaving room that we're going to get this, like, Scarlett Johansson Black Widow where they're like, it's different, but it's, you know, she's not dead.
I think so much of this show is to, like, gather people's appetite for, like, bringing other people back, you know?
Yeah, it's
like
a good test.
Having Scarlett Johansson come back. Or having Chris Evans come back at some point, just leaving the door open, right? Like just not closing the door on anything. You know, I like the fact that they're out. I think it's good to like start fresh and get new blood in there and do et cetera, et cetera. But I understand why they'd want to leave that door open. It made them billions of dollars. So why would you want to close that door? Right.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the point of this show was to kind of, it's a new Black Widow, you know.
Yeah, you like this?
It
could work.
Pretty cool.
Let's get on to Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Disclaimer, I did not see the movie. So I will act as the interviewer, and I will ask Ken some questions. I watched the new Rockstar recap. I watched the final cutscene. So I'm up to date. I heard the movie was really bad and I had a very busy week, so I felt like it was okay to skip this one and I'll just catch it the next time around. Like I watched the first Venom when I was on the couch with food poisoning. So, Ken.
Yeah.
It's the shortest MCU movie. Now it's an MCU movie. Maybe we talk with maybe we enter this conversation through a different door. Where do you think the first Venom will exist in the MCU canon? Like, where does it fit timeline wise? Do you know?
That's a good question.
Does it even?
I think it would have to be. It would have to be pre. Well, that's the thing, right? Because they were technically, according to the post-credit scene. And if you haven't seen Venom, go see Venom. If you have seen Venom,
spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers.
Don't go away.
According to the post-credit scene, they were in another multiverse, right? Because he got sucked. He got sucked into this one. So, I don't think it has to be in the timeline because it was in a totally different universe. You know what I mean? Because when Thanos'd,
yeah.
Right? The idea was to bring balance to the universe, not the multiverse. Right?
I think it's too nuanced. You're really trying to squeeze this one in there.
No, so I just think it was kind of like out of the MCU timeline, out of the prime MCU timeline, and now he's been sucked into the universe.
Man, that's going to be annoying if they have like MCU prime and then MCU. Like,
that's what I'm nervous about. I gotta be honest with you, I'm very nervous about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're like, Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, like all of those Spider-Men are now in it, but they're not really. It's this ultimate, like, different universe thing. That I think is gonna be very tricky for them. I don't want them to like spend too much time on this whole multiverse thing. I gotta be honest. This whole futuristic, like, just get through. There's so many other good stories that are to be told. Wow. And I think there's so many.
You're
other...
more of an earthly, so you're looking for like the Earth stories.
No, I just think like in this movie format of we're only gonna get like three things a year, there's still so much good stuff. Like, don't complicate it. Just keep it going. Like, we don't have to like establish this canon like it is a Skyrim or a Dungeons and Dragons game. Like, we don't need lore.
They've done a lot of heavy lifting without even having to like really do a whole lot, right? Because of Loki, because of What If, because of WandaVision, they've like been able to do this heavy multiverse lifting without actually having to waste too much time, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but just take it and go do something with it now.
I think I think that's Spider-Man and Multiverse of Madness, right? I mean, we know Kang's gonna be around until I fucking die, I think, you know? So like he's gonna be very important, and that's a multiverse guy, right?
Yeah.
So he's around. And I think when's Ant-Man and Quantumania?
Oh, don't ask. 2023.
It's 2023.
Yeah,
2023. So like we're on multiverse until I don't know, man. We're on multiverse for a long ass time. Also, folks, if you use Keeps or any other Rogaine type material, please help. What the fudge is this? Like, what is that? Come on. shoot me a link, shoot me a discount code or something. I don't know. If you're fucking mad scientist, I need to know. Help, please.
Come back.
I'm gonna look like the Watcher in 6 months.
Yeah. Maybe one of the other questions I would add in, I know we're trying to talk to Venom, but come back to What If, is real life Jeffrey Wright as Watcher.
Yeah, he's coming.
I think that would come.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think we might get that in Multiverse of Madness.
I think so, because I think that's what it set up, this whole like, oh, they're gonna work together, I need your help type of thing.
I hate to like go back on to What If, because I know we were off it, but that finale just was really a letdown for me. It really was, because
I want to know why people liked it. Maybe we'll do some research while you're talking here, but keep going.
And we do have a special guest coming on soon who may or may not have watched. I don't know actually if they watched What If. I think I might have read
IGN. IGN gave it a big stinker of a rating. Gave it a 5.
Good. I think, you know, the biggest letdown for me there was that, like,
you want to see Gamora, didn't you?
Yeah. No, it was that, like, the second to last of the penultimate episode, which Lewis loves, was like this, like, really cool, like, Ultron broke through the multiverse. Like, huge, like, moment. And the Watcher was like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. He lost his friggin' mind. And then the next thing you know, he's like, I'm breaking my oath. I gotta fight. And he fought Ultron through, like, universes on different planets, different timelines, et cetera, et cetera. He went bananas. And then in this episode, he was like, you guys do it.
Yeah. No, you've been summoned.
Right. And then he was just like, cool.
You've been chosen. Tom Jorgensen at the IGN. Tom, if you're listening, please come on the pod.
Tom
gives the finale, says mediocre. What If's first season concludes with a multiversal last stand that, despite infinite possibilities, relies too heavily on flashy action to satisfyingly conclude the story.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers, Tom. Yeah. Totally correct.
Let's see some of his other reviews here. IGN, which has a poll, what is your favorite episode? Ken, we'll ask you on this one. I want to see some of the results from the people that have done this. What would you pick? What was your favorite?
So I would pick as my favorite episode the What If Ultron won. That was my favorite, without a doubt.
Okay. Let's see what the fans come back with. Doctor Strange. And So Doctor Strange and the Ultron episode represent 50% of all votes.
And then T'Challa, T'Challa gets it almost to a full third.
Yeah.
Or that's, over two-thirds, I'm sorry.
So how one can read this, Captain Carter, boo, bad, don't give me women character. I know, I'm stretching there. T'Challa, Star-Lord, cool, he's back. Earth's Mightiest Heroes, what's the story there? Zombies, go watch Walking Dead. Killmonger with 2% of people. There are 5,000 votes, so I feel like that is a sizable pool.
That's a pretty good, it's pretty good number.
Very interesting here. Okay. Yeah, people wanted more Gamora. I know there's that that episode on New Rockstars about was there a missing episode? It even says here, if you were thrown by the sudden appearance of Gamora and the situation she and Tony Stark found themselves in Nidavellir, which, Peter Dinklage was huge. He's supposed to be small, right? Right. No, he's supposed to be big in the movies.
Yes, he's a dwarf, but he's huge.
He's huge, yeah. That was funny when the Watcher was like, "Not you, Stark."
I did love that.
Okay, so the first season was going to run 10 episodes, but the COVID-19 pandemic, if you haven't heard about it, meant cutting one from the production calendar to make the release date. And just like her purple papa, What If's producers decided Gamora was the necessary sacrifice. So unfortunate. Where was Gamora? Did she find that Infinity Crusher in episode ? Which is true. I read that wrong. Yeah. It's supposed to be in her episode. That did kind of just come out of nowhere. And honestly, that was the missing piece that I just couldn't understand. Because she was like, I got this Crusher. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And it didn't work. And I was like, what's the significance of that? Just to wrap it up, the finale moves too quickly to answer questions like this, which I agree. So having missed the episode really won't have much of an effect on your viewing experience here. If you're dying to know more, you'll have to wait until next season when the producers have confirmed Gamora's lost episode will resurface, which I don't know how relevant is going to be then, but I don't know. I'm not a show producer here. So
yeah, I mean, you know, that's interesting. I didn't even kind of pick up on it until I saw that. I didn't see the full video, but I did see the headline or whatever it is. I mean, interesting, definitely interesting. I guess I just don't care. That's my problem with What If, is that I just don't care.
Yeah. What do you think our friends over at Inverse said?
Oh man, we do respect our Inverse friends. That's for sure.
Inverse has good video game content. And I think Days just reviewed a video game, probably the new Far Cry, because I know they were a big fan of the previous one. Let's talk about that, and then I'm going to interview you about... No, I want to look at Inverse Functions, inverse.com. I'm going to interview you about the terrible Venom 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, Inverse. And it's hard to not imagine more chapters. That's a good thing. Never mind.
Yeah.
They liked the show.
Yeah, it was fine. It's hard not to like it. I mean, it was fine. It's fine.
Oh, Daze Johnson wrote this. There you go.
Daze. Come on, kid.
You can't say anything bad about Daze.
No. There's literally nothing bad to say about Daze.
You watch... Daze gave Far Cry a 9. Interesting.
Wow.
You watch Squid Game?
Oh, yeah, man. It was great. I think we're going to get into some... We're going to get into some spooky season, some Squid Games, some Halloween.
We'll save that for Hannah.
Yeah, we're going to save that for our – he gave away the guest.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Wow. We love repeat guests here because we're still trying to branch out horizons here. But, okay, let me interview you. I'll change this background up. We'll get a nice Eddie Brock up in here.
Yes.
Your favorite Eddie. Your favorite Staten Island hero, I guess, Venom. Okay. Maybe we put this Fortnite background.
Eddie.
Yeah, that's what we do here. Epic Game Store.
They are. There's our boy Venom.
Okay. All right. So, Ken, what is your tweet level or tweet length review of Venom 2? Like bite-size snippet.
Yeah. I'll give you a real one, and then I'll give you the headline for my article. So okay. The real one is... The real one is Venom 2 was fucking bad.
Give me like something relatable. Like be like yeah. It was yeah, no, as good or bad I as
need,
blank.
I need some more characters here, Lou. I would take this one to a threat because it was weird. It was the worst paced movie I think I've ever seen. There were no breaks in any sort of action, but there was also no action. It was the weirdest feeling movie that I've ever experienced. It was the most like innocuous story that I've ever experienced.
What do you think about this Woody Harrelson pick I got up here? And here,
I don't know why he was there. He all of his lines were ADR'd. They were all added in post. He was totally useless as like an A-list actor. You would assume that you'd want Carnage or that guy, right? Cletus Cassidy. You'd want him to be like a character, right? Like you'd want him to be menacing. You'd want him to be like scary. And he was fucking useless. He was useless.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a good pick.
It was bad.
What about this the bad. Suit he wore?
Now you don't hate to see that. I mean,
you like the suit?
Yeah, that was like one of the only scenes that he got to act in.
Okay, let me ask you some more pointed questions here. All right, so you didn't like the pacing.
No.
What is the story here? Like, Cletus Cassidy becomes Carnage. Venom's got to stop him. Is there anything more than that in like the 90 minutes that you watched? Okay, so that's the story. Ken looks terrified to answer anything else. Okay. What was up with the Screech character? The Scream, the Woody Harrelson like love interests. What was the deal with her? You don't know? Okay, Ken, I need you to
yell.
I understand.
No, Luke, that's the thing. Luke, this is the, I can only answer the questions that have answers. What was the deal? I don't know.
Okay.
She was there to scream.
Let's look at this headline here. Okay, so we got Venom, we got Carnage. How was the Venom? Okay, so I'm gonna be honest. The Eddie Brock relationship in this movie feels like, I know he's supposed to work for Vice, but it really does feel like he like funded, supported, wrote, and directed this movie, and was like, I'm gonna direct it, I'm gonna write it, I'm gonna be the star of it, I'm gonna voice the weird evil guy, and everyone's just gonna support me here. And now that like Marvel's like, hey, come in the House of Mouse, you know, you're gonna be part of canon.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, oh, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this now. That was my take. But how was like the Eddie Brock Venom relationship here? Was it corny? Well, was it too much? Did you like it?
It's on the rocks a bit, my friend. That's part of the biggest point of the movie is that they are struggling. They're struggling as a symbiote. They are not symbiotic, and that's how they end up beating Carnage at the end. Is because they are one, and Carnage, Cletus, and the red thing are not symbiotic. So their relationship, Lou, isn't strong enough to win in the battle. Why that matters, I don't know. Why any of this matters, I don't know. Why that woman was there to scream at us, I don't know.
What about
why
the car scene?
Harrelson was cast, I don't know. What about who?
They were in a car or something. I saw that a couple of times.
Nah, no, they drove. Okay. Somebody drove somewhere. No,
okay.
No, nothing.
I'm working my way through here. I don't know who this is. I forgot. I know it's Eddie Brock's like step wife or
ex love interest.
Yeah. So is her husband still around? Michelle Williams. Yes, Michelle Williams.
Yes, Dr. Dan. Yes, Dr. Dan is around. They are engaged now.
But he's like somewhat like we talk about.
He's there to be comedic relief.
Okay, I was gonna pull the watcher up,
which is weird.
Talk about being a cuck, but
right. Like you would think that like a movie with like a Tom Hardy yelling at Tom Hardy in like a weird Eddie voice would be like all the comedic relief you need, but no, they have like Dr. Dan there to be. You know, to really ground you in this universe. It was fucking bad, man. It was bad.
So Michelle Williams bad. We didn't understand the screaming lass here. Carnage. Okay, so Carnage on a scale of who's the evil elf in Thor? Magnum. What the hell is that guy's name? Hold on.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Evil guy in Thor 2. This is why we're on Twitch right now. Malekith. Okay. Is he on a scale of between Malekith the Accused or the Accursed and Ronan the Conqueror? Is that his name? Probably not his name.
Okay, on a scale of Ronan
the Accuser and Malekith the Accursed. Okay. Where does Carnage fall in the pool of bad? Is he good? Is there like cool bad guy? Is he like the bad guy from Grease where he has like two lines and you're like,
I'm trying to think because it's a weird one.
Was there anything you enjoyed about this movie?
The post credit scene was cool.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Maybe we can talk about some of the implications the post-credit scene has.
Yeah.
So the post-credit scene, it seems to be offering like a rectangle fit into a square hole of like Venom's going to fit into to Spider-Man.
Well, and you're like, I mean, if he was going in Star Wars, it'd be a lot harder.
Yeah. We know that Spider-Man has a lot of interesting implications going forward. There are a lot of people that have undergraduate degrees in video effects on YouTube that believe that they have found Andrew Garfield symbols in the trailers and that he's coming. Whatever, if that's the case, we're getting Andrew Garfield, we're getting Tobey Maguire, we're getting all the bad homies from the previous movies. All of this in conjunction with Tom Holland's final movie in contract on the Spider-Man franchise. Yep. There's this weird split between Sony and Marvel, where Sony owns the rights to it, but Big Brother Marvel just makes the movies because it makes everyone more money. And now we're adding in Venom for Venom 3 or to, you know, put them together. Marvel also seems to have signed up on the rights to Insomniac Games to make up the third Spider-Man game, which seems like it's going to be a Peter Parker, Miles Morales, and Eddie Brock, you know, trio. So what do you make of all of this going forward for this like new Spider-Man franchise here? What do you?
Yeah. So I've definitely, done. Is everything okay?
Oh, I think I lost you there.
Am I back?
You're back.
Okay. That was horrifying.
You made a whoops.
We're good. We're good. We also need to send our invite out to our guest if you have it, if you can grab a link.
Oh, I will do. Will do.
Yeah. I think I'd be lying if I said that I didn't do some research or do some reading up on like some of the theories, et cetera, after the movie. But it definitely looks like they're going to be going the route of Spider-Man and Venom being like pals instead of being enemies. So I would assume like in the video game, they'll probably be working together Spider-Man No Way Home. They'll probably be working together to like get everybody back to where they need to go. Right. Like that's kind of how I envision it all moving forward. But it's definitely, I don't disagree that it's a little square peg round hole, especially because there's already so much fucking shit going on. I can't imagine how like you can bring in Eddie and have him just like seamlessly fit into Spider-Man No Way Home, which is already fucking bananas ass movie. Right. So we'll see.
Oh, do you think, he, do you think he's in there? I mean, we see that infamous shot with him with the No Way Home hat. I'll pull that up because I think Eddie Brock looks hysterical in that photo. He just looks like some guy I would see on like who's just always on vacation.
I think Tom Hardy's fucking cool, man. Tom Hardy's just good at what he does.
Yeah.
And what he does is like play his characters to a T. And you know, Eddie is a good character.
I love this photo. Yeah, Tom Hardy, ultimate good guy in my opinion. Just big fan of him. He just looks like so funny.
He's a funny guy. He's a cool guy. I like him. How could you not, right? Like, he's just like a dude.
Yeah, it was Bane.
So
beat up Leo in that movie. Okay, so to summarize, not a big fan of Venom. We're getting we got a guest coming on right now. Maybe we'll just glide right on in here.
Is it Tom Hardy?
It's not Tom Hardy.